afternoon. Today is Wednesday, June the 11th, 165th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, political commentator Rex Bone.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as that.
Well, I mean, we did it for long enough. Qualify now.
Yeah, I did 3 hours worth the other night. So
yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the reactions post-election. We certainly saw some stuff going on there, and we'll do kind of the follow-up, if you will, and we'll do that when we come back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, let's see if I can find a quote here about politics. There's pollution. That's pretty close.
Politics and sausage.
Here's politicians. Shayna Alexander. Remember her?
Very well.
Okay. Quote, "What troubles me is not that movie stars run for office, but that they find it easy to get elected. It should be difficult. It should be difficult for millionaires, too." So, when last we met, we didn't have the finals in yet. They came in, I guess, about 10 minutes after we left the building.
Yeah, after we left the air, about 11:45. Yeah. I actually went down to the elections office on the way home from here.
Yeah.
Because there was one last precinct, the Marshall School precinct, coming in, and just to tell them good job and how'd everything go and stuff like that.
So. Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. How did elections?
Carolyn thought everything went pretty good by quarter to 12, 10 to 12. They were wrapping up. Now they have the provisionals and the walk-in ballots and things like that, the funny ballots.
That's kind of the intriguing part, the provisionals. What does the county anticipate and what came through? Because it seemed like there were, at least at the... With the three or four folks I talked to at their polling stations, it seemed to be a lot more prevalent than what they had anticipated.
Yeah, and they said they ran out, and people said they'd provisionals. There's many reasons you can have a provisional, you know, but I think that the main thing is you want to make sure somebody votes. I mean, first and foremost, you want to make sure they have the opportunity and they get to exercise their right to vote. The other thing is you want to make sure they do it properly, and our elections office seems to do a pretty good job of that.
So they're now going through that process. It still hasn't been certified. No. Have you heard any indications of any hanky-panky?
Haven't heard a word, and I think I heard 1,000 or around 1,000, 1,200 provisionals. It's a number, but I heard that that
night.
It's
a huge number
Not provisionals, but drop-ins and provisionals. Because a lot of people bring their absentees in, too, on the last day. For some reason, they like to still go by the polling place. Or there was a lot of big push by, a couple of the campaigns to call people that hadn't voted yet. They were running runners around to see who had voted and says, "Hey, I know you support me. You haven't voted yet." "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, you can still take your absentee down there and drop it in the box." So there was a lot of that just to make sure that everybody got out and exercised their right to vote.
Was there anybody, Rex, who wasn't disappointed at the turnout?
No, I think, I hear we have one of our supervisors calls the budget the new norm, and maybe this is the new norm because I noticed that.
A third?
In primaries. Oh. Maybe that's just what we get, because as you certainly know, it's not from lack of advertising. No, I mean, people definitely know there's an election going on.
Now there were a lot less races than anticipated.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
with the sheriff running unopposed and a number of the other countywide positions being unopposed, I suppose if they were in contested races,
yeah, you look back,
that probably would have
cranked. Yeah, you look back. Mari had three people in her race, and Joe Mellett had, you know, everybody had somebody going against him. Downey, Mike had the guy that left, and
Of his own volition. No, and but, by the way, he's now 98.5% plus.
Yeah.
That's what he wants me to call him.
Yeah. And then, I don't know if there... Dave Parrish ran unopposed four years ago. So, yeah, but there was a lot of contention. So that, I don't know if that brings out more people or just the people that normally vote, you know, come into the... You know, because I was 4 years ago. I was 4 years ago, and I...
You were four or two?
2 years ago. I mean, excuse me, 2 years ago. Excuse 2 years ago.
Yeah, and, on but this I was in cycle.
A, but on a cycle. Yeah. But I was on the in a primary race. So, and we had a fairly good turnout. I think our district one was like 46 or 47. I think
it's
about 50%
more than what happened this time.
Yeah, because I had because I know my vote count was like 4,700, 4,800, and I know Virginia's was.
And that isn't even
24, yeah. And that
that's
was
more than how
people.
Many voted this time.
So yeah, so it was just that, yeah. So that, I don't know if it's the people drive it as much, or if people just say, "Oh, to heck with it," or because I know
there's got to be something out there, because for it to be a third off of what it was 4 years ago in the primary, so I'd like to think that much apathy hasn't kicked in.
No, so would I. I'd love to turn it into a lotto thing and give out $5,000 prizes for everybody that votes locally, and you know, to stimulate them. I think.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If you could orchestrate, and I'm sure that there is a way to do it, not surreptitiously, but to ensure that there was something of general broad-based interest in the primaries as well as in the general election, to entice more people or to give them a reason.
We get news from a lot of countries that say they get 90% and 95% turnout, and the incumbent gets 91%, and somebody gets 3%. But I mean, it just—I don't know if that's orchestrated, but I mean,
I bet you they share who votes.
Yeah. So,
with enforcement entities.
But yeah. I mean, I again, it's people, right? They can vote, or if they don't do or don't. I mean, that's their decision. But as I said on election night and everything else, a lot of people have put a lot of effort to give you that right to vote.
KINS News and Information Time is 3:19.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, as you mentioned, there were a number of different ballot opportunities for folks to vote. We had the two state things. There were a couple of the special bonds and stuff. Have you had a chance to talk to your buds up on Neyland? And to talk about
Excited. That's good home cooking there. I mean, that's just what should happen. There is no doubt in my mind that is what should happen. You should support your local fire departments. You should support. I mean, those guys they don't get compensated. I was a volunteer for years, and I can tell you right now, the volunteer today, the certification, everything you have to do is so much more. Intense, and the requirements for insurance or everything else are so much more intense. These guys need to have 15, 20 hours a week of training.
Now, you know? I'll be asking Ken this on Friday, but your sense, is this a positive harbinger for other volunteer fire departments in the area to be able to go out and to raise some additional dollars on the ballot?
Well, I certainly hope so, because I what throws that whole thing for a loop, especially in the rural, is the SRA fee. The SRA fee, which was imposed on the rural counties, if you're in a Cal Fire district, you pay $150 a year, and it goes for prevention. It doesn't actually go to Cal Fire, and that has probably been, if not the worst,
boondoggle is what I was
boondoggle thinking. As I've ever seen it. It makes about $95 million. State Board Equalization takes $20 million to administer it. and nobody likes it, and it has killed the volunteer fire departments because people pay this $150, so they think they're subsubsidizing their volunteer fire department.
The presumption is that it's fire.
And it's just killed some of the local. I went out to a fundraiser here, Honeydew Volunteer Fire Department, steak and lobster feed. It was just a good old time out there at the Grange in Petrolia here a few weeks ago, and they put on a heck of a show, and they ran out of food because so many people were supporting the department because they're trying to get another truck. So,
and I mean, about steak and lobster brings people out. Yeah.
a new truck for those guys is like a 1999 or 2000. It's a hand me down from CDF or something like that. But I mean, it's still it. They cover such a wide area, you know, and the guys out there, Travis and at Petrolia, and then the guys at Honeydew and girls at Honeydew, they do a great job. But it's a bake sale department. I mean, you know, they're suffering through the, you know, they do everything with the bake sales, and they have their fundraisers, the roll on the Matola, and everything else. Ferndale has their drawings and you know their raffles and things like that, and then Fortuna. You know, Fortuna, Ferndale. I mean, you take a look around at these departments, and then Tim Olson from down, who just recently passed away from the Southern Humboldt Chiefs, he had got that fire department all ramped up and stuff, which helped Red Crest and all those guys.
Yeah, spin off.
Yeah, the Southern Humboldt Chiefs and just got them all together so they could upgrade their training and stuff like that. So it's a tough deal for those volunteers, and it does bode well. They may have to put something on there to protect, to keep them. And for a lot of them, it helps with their insurance rates because you have firefighting capabilities. You're under a realm of firefighting capabilities, so you can get insurance.
We talked a little bit last Tuesday about the shadow, I guess, foreshadow of the county doing some kind of a premium sales tax. Has there been any further clarification on that point?
There's a subcommittee working on. In fact, I think they've chosen. They're going to do some polling to make sure that it works. That it's, the people will accept it, or at least listen to the argument on it and stuff. Because as it stands right now, we're looking at the same amount of revenue that we've had in the years past, but the costs and expenses of just everything. I mean, we're just the county's just a huge big business is basically all it is. It's just so our health care costs are up, you know. Nobody's doing anything for what they did it 5 years ago.
Is that the option that this county has got rather than going to the state and saying, wait a minute, you know, what you have done is... I know the rural counties, I know CSAC, but is there any way that...
We can't even get... They even took PILT off. We had the payment in lieu of taxes.
Really? That's off?
Well, it's not off the table, but it's on the back burner again. And so we're pushing that like no tomorrow, because that's $400,000 or $500,000 that's owed to us, you know, not annually, but on a back pay. And some counties, it's a huge, huge factor of the payment in lieu of taxes, both for the federal and state government.
What would happen if all counties sent their supervisors and their senior management staff and just flat out invaded Sacramento and the Capitol? I mean, they could not ignore you. Would there be an understanding, do you think, or would that just be, you know, yelling in the dark or winking in the dark?
Peeing in the wind. I mean, basically, I mean, we have said that with the SRA fee. We've come out quite a bit against the SRA fee, especially the rural counties. The payment in lieu of taxes, the PILT, everybody's come out unanimously. I mean, that's a huge one for a lot of counties. Some counties, not so much. I mean, you know, some counties that are just basically all urban don't have as much public and state land except for, you know, the office buildings and things. But, I mean, when you're talking the open lands, you know, with the fishing game and wildlife and things like that, it adds up to a pretty good chunk of change.
There's no recognition in Sacramento of what their actions are.
I think there's recognition, but you know, we were talking the other day. We've got we share one state senator and one assemblyman, and L.A. County has 20 assemblymen and 10 state senators.
Yeah, and they also got their baseball team sucking too. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's. St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, the elections that happened last week haven't been certified, but nobody's saying that there's going to be an awful lot of movement. The spreads were way too far this time. Is that a message that can be taken as validation?
That
things are going okay? Obviously, Maggie Fleming got one that said, go, girl, go. Okay. But for your peers on the board, I know there's been some discussion about whether or not it was a mandate or not a mandate.
If their opponent wins by one, it's a mandate, and if they lose by 300, it's, well, they're trying to tell you you're all wrong. And I guess the pundits can say anything they want. I know that I came in on Wednesday morning and. I still work with Ryan, who you don't work with much better people than Ryan Sundberg. He is, I call him the grown-up in the crowd. He's just a good man, and he's a great family man. I think that has a lot to do with it. And I think when you take a look at what he's done the last 4 years, and as he moves forward, I think they made the right choice up there. And he's got a lot of tribal influence up there, and he has connections with those people, and he's dealt with the tribe folks up there on a regular basis. He's up in Hoopaw and Klamath a lot, Hoopaw up on the Klamath a lot and Orleans. So I think that's good.
I'm surprised he doesn't have an RV.
Pack
the family.
I ran into Sharon Latour last weekend, and she was very gracious. Had a nice talk with her up in McKinleyville. And she's a very nice lady. I think she came in at the beginning a little underestimating. I think she took the word of a few people that said, we can do this and this and this for you. It's a big job to overcome an incumbent. It's a huge job to overcome an incumbent, but it's a big job to overcome an incumbent that has been doing the job. So,
particularly if you don't know the political processes, either.
Yeah, or you don't know the people you're putting on your team very well. So
then they wouldn't be on my team, would they?
Yeah. So, and then as far as Virginia goes, I've never hidden the fact Virginia works hard for the county. She's worked hard for the city. She does the job, but Eureka has a pretty good division. I mean, we've taken a look at that in the city. Yeah, she's got a little bit of Myrtletown, all of Myrtletown and stuff like that. But a big portion of her district is right here in Eureka proper and this area here and stuff. And there's always been a division. I mean, you've got mayor's races divided by 40 and 50 votes. You've got city council races. You've got incumbents getting knocked out, some coming in. I mean, it's got its own little bit of turmoil. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a great little city.
The soap opera really is going to play out in Eureka in the fall because you've got so many of the councilmen up for the election and also the mayor. Well, okay, now if anybody in the area, in the greater Eureka area, has any interest in anything, there's going to be something for them and there's going to be something that they don't really like. So if there's any inclination, I would think that there's somebody that they could hook on to and help out whatever the cause is that they may be in favor
of. I mean, you're not going to change the ship a whole bunch right now, but I mean, there is going to be a lot of activity, it seems like. I think I've got quite a few friends on the city council there, but I mean, these are people I've known for 20 and 30 years, so I just,
that's, is that a plus or a minus?
That can work either way. I mean, both ways.
What's intriguing for me, and with the gerrymandering that the county has to do, is that you've got a piece of Eureka.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, Virginia does.
Yeah.
Now, Mark doesn't come in, does he?
No.
He just is at the corner.
And he's at the corner. So, yeah. And it's kind of funny. When they did the redistricting, I thought it was kind of silly how they, you know, we've got the one corner at Harrison where we, you know, we have three corners.
Pick a corner.
Yeah. I've got two of them. Virginia has one and Mark has one. So that's the funny little corner I call it. So.
But in looking at that, I would think that that's a little bit more dynamic for Eureka to have two soups, and actually three. I mean, you know, Myrtletown is part of Eureka. It may not be a voting part, but I mean, come on. Ed Hall and that's to have three different folks at the county claiming that they have influence, claiming that they have voters, claiming that they have that interaction part is, I would think, could be fun, but it could also be really problematic because it's still the city of Eureka, and that's not the county. The city.
No, and that's probably one of the most positive things that Virginia has done is she opened the dialogue between the city and the county, and we've actually got city county meetings coming every 2 months, and then now we're going to start having them every month because there's so many things going on. So we're all working on the same page.
So Greg and Phil are starting to kumbaya a little bit.
Yeah, I think they've talked, and I mean, where Eureka goes, the county goes. Where the county goes, Eureka goes. I mean, it is the county seat. If you want to, because that's where we're at, you know. So, having a great working relationship. I attend quite a few city council meetings. I mean, by quite a few, I'll go once a month, once every 6 weeks. I'll pop in on one and just to see what's going on. I'll you know, and I do that with school.
See who's hanging out in the hallway.
See if they got the same people we got. But I mean, it's great having a good working relationship with the city of Eureka. And that really creates a good base for all of us.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, some of the different challenges that are out there, I would imagine, are daunting. You mentioned Sharon Latour and not being a political beastie, not being involved, not being in and of the community for an extended period of time. You look at some of the different candidates in Eureka, those that are already indicating pretty hard that they're going to be running for re-election again. Is there anybody there that will have an advantage just because of who they are and where they've been, or a disadvantage? You got elected the first time, but you either had a soft opponent or the timing was right.
The one person I can think of is, if he ran against me, I'd probably vote for him, is Frank Yeager. I mean, I look forward to any reason I get to call Frank and talk to him, because it's the opportunity to stop by his house and talk to him, because he's always willing to tell you what he thinks. He's always straightforward. And if anybody walks the walk, I mean, it's Frank. 50 years in Boy Scouts, 30 years in public, 35 years, 40 years in public safety, retires, and he comes back and he serves his community as mayor. And I think he does a great job as a figurehead for the city of Eureka. I mean, because he has a history. People come to town if they want to do business here, and they say, you know, we're thinking about, what do you think? It's, well, I was in public safety here for 35 years. I run the Boy Scouts. I've got a pretty good track record of working here in the community and things like that. That's what people want to hear from a mayor, and I can't imagine anybody wanting to run against Frank, because he brings so much to the table, and he doesn't bring any controversy. He's just a good guy, and with him and his wife, Sarah, they're great people. I mean, they're involved with their church. They're involved with everything. I don't know how he has enough time in the day. I mean, you go by St. Bernard, you know, he's parked down there at working on the hall for the Boy Scouts and stuff. I mean, he's just...
I was going to ask, is there room for a non-politician in politics? even at, I think, you step away from the school boards, because that's kind of a different critter all by itself, and the fire districts and things like that. But for a politician, someone who either enjoys or is looking for stepping stone, are there spaces for those kinds of folks that don't have aspirations? I mean, you kind of did it because you got hacked off. Okay, fine. But you look at the normal, regular guy. Is there space for a normal, regular guy in politics today?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, if you talk to some people, I'm way below normal. But I mean, I was, getting to the point of, looking at when I was going to retire, and, Jimmy was going to sit out, and I've always looked at that. And I mean, I always tell people I replaced Gandhi, but I just didn't replace shoes. I replaced this, thing. But it's great. I had breakfast with him yesterday, and Jimmy's always so helpful to me. I always state, but.
Well, and Jimmy was one of those. I mean, he's not going anywhere.
No,
either, but
no.
He was also elected 15 years ago before a lot of the fan bending started getting out in the air and stuff. And it seems like everything is so divisive now.
Well, and I think that's what creates the problem, because there's so much demand afterwards. I wrote a pretty bold letter to the editor supporting Virginia. And the reasons I supported her, and I'm sitting here saying I wish we didn't have that, and I may have added to that, But with that being said, I mean, Chris coached my son in ninth grade basketball. I think the one time he coached a basketball team. He volunteered to do that. I think he's a nice guy, and I think it's great that he graduated from Humboldt this year. I think that's great to further your career. For a guy that got his high school diploma this year, I applaud him for getting his college diploma. But that's a whole different story. But I think that's great. But I've always said, or I've always felt, a little real world experience out there. I'm trying to do this without sounding like Chuck Ciancio, but I mean, going out there and knowing what it's like to need that paycheck to pay things and stuff like that, and what an imposition anything we do up there can be. I mean, more taxes, more fees, close a road, close a park, close a department, or cut services to people that need them. I think it's that real world experience really makes a difference.
So that connectivity to what's going on.
Yeah.
Can you hide as a politician?
I don't think so. I was thinking, boy, it'd be nice to be something in one of these small towns, but small town problems are just as big to them as a big problem is in a big town. So, that barking dog is amplified in a town of 500 compared to, the speeding cars on 101 going through Eureka. So, I mean, it's as big a problem to them.
Not the safety corridor, however.
Yeah, no, the safety corridor's turned into the trail corridor.
Thanks for coming by, bud. We've been Talking Shop with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.